Welcome to another Friday edition of Truth Be Told. I'm Captain Ron here in studio with Tony Sweet. Today we have a guest all the way from Australia joining us. Jackie Pfeiffer is the director of a new film called The Portal. It's an experimental documentary created in part of a global vision to shift humanity out of a state of crisis, which of course we are in a state of crisis.
Right.
It brings to life the stories of six different people who overcame great adversity using stillness and mindfulness, basically meditation. And we follow their footsteps to realize the unique potential that all humans have to change the world from the inside out. Please welcome to the show, Jackie Pfeiffer.
All right.
Literally from down under, Tony.
Right. Good day.
Oh, no. I asked him not to do that.
Sorry. It just slipped out.
Sorry, Jackie.
It's okay. I'd be just as bad if I tried to do an American accent.
Hey, first off, I want to jump in here and say that how we watched your film, and how great to see Dr. Julia Mossbridge in your film. She had just been on our show, I don't know, 6 months ago, and we both really liked her a lot. She's a futurist with a scientific perspective, and it was great to see her against these individual stories that were showcased.
Yeah, it was a real nice surprise. It was actually Mikey Siegel, who's one of the other guys, the other futurist, transformational technology developer in he appears in the film, and he suggested we speak to Julia because she's doing really incredible work with Hanson Robotics and programming unconditional love into robots and stuff, and she's just wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, we should talk about that right away, because that's the interesting thing. How do you program love into robots? She was trying to talk about how, you know, in AI developing and technology, we don't even think of those things.
Right.
And, you know, by a practical standpoint, if you program AI or robots incorrectly, they may object. The objective may be to wipe you out because you're just a waste.
Like but a Terminator.
Right. But if they program love in, then they would feel compelled that, well, I should have affection for you and try to help you. That's an interesting aspect, don't you think?
Yeah. What they're doing, the way she sort of explained it to me, that they made a definition of what love was. And I guess it's not just love. It's you know, benevolence and
right.
and just ethics in general. But, yeah, what is unconditional love? And I think they've got quite a lengthy definition, but for the purposes of distilling it down, it was to bring out somebody's best. And so I guess what they're doing is just being really thoughtful. And so many people are doing this now, you know, there's so much more intentionality behind the programming, you know, we find as we have conversations with people and who are working in this space, how can we program free of our own unconscious bias, you know, and really drill down into what's going in the code and ethically. And it's making a difference, these encounters that people are having with Sophia when she's programmed in that way, because they've got a few different kind of programming modes that they use with her. But wow. people go into these research studies and they don't realize what the purpose of it is. They don't realize it's connected to love, that they're trying to create a loving kind of a space or have that kind of an outcome. And apparently these people come out of the encounters with Sophia pointing to their chest, saying that they're feeling really loving, all of that sort of stuff. So it's really, really cool, I think.
Right. Sophia, for the folks that don't know, is a robot, a robotic thing that talks. It looks like a pretty girl. Like, they make it also appealing, right? Like by design. Like, it's not
yes.
like this mechanical thing. It's like looks like you're looking at a pretty girl, and she talks and reacts to you, and it's pretty amazing.
I think, I mean, obviously they're trying to do that, you know, improve all the time with the design and everything, but part of it is so that, I mean, there's a bit of a weird situation going on where you're looking at this thing, you know it's a robot, but it kind of looks human, and there's apparently like neural hijacking going on. So it's confusing for you. So you engage. I think the idea, the way I understand it, or I imagine if I were in that situation, the way I engage is I know this isn't a person. Therefore, they're asking me maybe personal questions and I might feel more open about speaking, you know, speaking honestly because I know they're not thinking anything about me.
Right, it's just a computer.
But they look enough like a person that I engage on a human sort of a level. So it's just,
Right, there's no fear of intimately. Exactly, it's a cold computer. It's not a human. So you, who cares what they think, kind of. So
they're not thinking.
All right. I do like how this film had, we see the six different people, we get their first person accounts. So it's directly from source. It's directly from their perspective of what happened to them personally. I think that was an interesting choice and what made the film more interesting.
We were really trying to get it to be as intimate and as sort of human to human as possible and really evoke that oral storytelling tradition, you know, of something that in so many senses we've lost and people are getting more drawn back into and like getting rid of the digital interface and really just speaking human to human. And so I think one of the things that was really effective, don't know whether how you guys probably noticed it or people are noticing it subconsciously, the way that we did the filming and looking down the barrel of the camera, and we had this really really incredible mirrored system. So when the subjects, when the interviewees were looking at the camera, they were looking at my face. And so we conducted the interview like that through this mirrored system, and I'd sit next to the camera and I'd look in and I'd look at their face. And so we were able to really deeply engage. And I just noticed that difference. The more, you know, and I tend to be a pretty sort of patient and present listener. And so the more I engaged with them, the more deeply they engaged with me. And for them, then the view is transcending the screen, you know what I mean? So it really, I think it's reaching out into people beyond the eye line doesn't just stop at the screen, just goes through it.
Interesting.
And I think that's made a difference.
Even without the meditation aspect of this, I feel like this film reminds us all to take a pause, take stock of our life, and see the beauty in life itself, right? Like that's sort of the overarching feeling you get watching this film. Or at least I got.
Yes, I'm glad. I'm glad you got that. Yeah, I feel the same way.
Oh, good.
The meditation.
I was expecting you to go, no, that's not at all what we were talking about. That's usually what I hear.
Oh, gosh. It was funny, you know, you make sort of decisions, and I sort of, I mean, gosh, we all have a tough time sometimes, or like a lot of the time, or, you know, life is challenging, and it's hard sometimes to see and appreciate the beauty in life and the beauty in experiences, and you can get drawn in a little bit to all the shit sometimes, and I felt like it was really important to help us all to be drawn into that space and to realize, oh, yeah, like there is beauty in all of that. And even choices, you know, like about how you color the film, the color grading and stuff. And I know that my DOP was doing some sort of color test. And I think in his mind, it had always, I don't know, he presented some images to me that kind of had a more European sort of look. I was like, oh no, it's not that. It's kind of bold and vivid. And you know, it's the life in all its color, and I really wanted it to be that way because I think that it's nice. It's nice for us.
Yeah, you guys wanted
the opportunity we can to contemplate the beauty.
You really tried to pay attention to all the tiny little details like that, like the soundtrack, also with the music, seemed to kind of go with each thing as well as the colors, and it was all clearly by design. You really tried to really paint this thing. The film also, you know, it demonstrates how a crisis can be a catalyst for change in people. And it's really a shame, I felt, that for all of us, that it often takes a crisis for us to change our perspective on life instead of just realizing how precious life is and to not sweat the small stuff and that kind of thing. Easier said than done, but that's, you know, it's a shame that oftentimes it does take something dramatic in our lives to make that happen.
I mean, that's our resistance to change, right?
Right.
We're, you know, gosh, there's a million quotes about that kind of thing. Suffering proportional to our resistance to change. So, and yeah, how agile can we be? And I think sometimes you do make adjustments along the way. I've, for the most part, tended towards making early adjustments and haven't really hit the crisis point. That's not like a 100% categoric, but you know, for the most part, I'm kind of like thinking like, what's the evolutionary step here? Okay, this is difficult, but what's gonna move me forward? But sometimes you do get stuck in a bit of a loop. I know that from my own personal experience, and I know how difficult it is for people. You get into a bit of a comfort zone, and there's some sort of weird peace in the familiarity, and you just struggle to step out of it.
Were you trying?
If we didn't all fall into that trap,
right? And we all do. I mean, most people on a daily basis do. Don't you feel that? Do you feel that meditation was the way you're trying to showcase that meditation can help people get into that mindset?
I think it really helps. I don't necessarily think that it exclusively is required. I mean, I was saying I would probably, even before I had a formal meditation practice, that would have been my sort of general modus operandi to try and notice when things needed a shift in my life. So I think that there are people who don't need it. I do think that meditation serves lots of purposes for lots of people, and it's different stuff. So even if you're not maybe using it to help you get another perspective, like see through the layers and help get another perspective on your life situation and things that might not be going so well and make some kind of deep personal assessment, it's also an amazing tool to, you know, enhance flow, enhance creativity, enhance productivity, all sorts of angles. So I think you get it in that, like, moving away from things and moving towards other things, the evolutionary kind of spectrum.
I'm glad to hear you say that.
Go
ahead.
No, what were you going to say?
I was saying, I'm glad to hear you say that people don't necessarily need that. Like Tony was just mentioning for him. Go ahead, Tony. What were you saying about how you hike and stuff?
Well, I think most people think that meditation is sitting there. My mic's going. Go ahead. There we go. No, I got it.
He's got it. There you go.
That most people think that sitting there, you know, your eyes closed, fingers touching,
humming
or chanting is the way to get that meditation that you need. But from what I've learned through other people and even myself, you know, going out into the woods, you know, if you're barefoot in the grass or just being alone with nature, for me, that's my meditation. And that's where I get, you know, my perspective on life, my guides talking to me or whatever you want to talk about, wherever you're at. I just don't think you have to be in that traditional what people think you're supposed to do with meditation. Is that correct? Do you believe in that?
Oh, look, I'm talking from a user perspective too. I'm, you know, Tom Cronin, who was the original person who wanted to make this film to kind of showcase the power of meditation. His background is in, as a meditation teacher, whatever. But like, you just take mine as sort of a user perspective and my own personal experience with it. I'm starting to understand it more and more all the time, and kind of in all of the complexity. And I guess I personally use a whole bunch of different tools, and I really also love getting out into nature, and I think that's probably my number one place that makes me feel alive in the moment and noticing the things around me. And I love seeing wildlife and the joy that brings me, a lot of joy. So I guess in terms of a tool to bring us into the present, I think that probably there's maybe a difference, take my language with a grain of salt, but there's maybe a difference between activities that are kind of meditative. So like, for instance, the people talking about running or swimming or kind of getting into the zone with that kind of thing. And when you take time to actually notice how you're feeling about stuff and do a deep dive to why it is that you're having responses to life in the way that you are, and be able to get more agile at moving through like the zooming in and the zooming out on your own personal emotional experience. So I can only speak from my own experience. I don't know that I do that out in nature. I might do that when I'm sort of like sitting alone, but it's not necessarily sitting. I mean, it could be like doing it sitting in a car, driving around or what have you. But I guess it's the degree to which you do a deep emotional dive to understand how you're responding to the world. I would call that one of the things that people are connecting to meditation, not just getting into a calm state. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So how do we get the whole world to see it this way? It seems that, like, in our culture at least, that we're also focused on money and keeping our terrible businesses barely floating along, trying to get ahead and the whole rat race and the whole treadmill thing. How do we get the rest of the people to get on board with this way of thinking?
I think hopefully over time people are kind of, it's piquing their curiosity because there's so much talk of it now. And even, you know, people who you don't think are getting curious, they are getting curious because their friend's meditating or they've read some article or they saw some movie. And bit by bit, I think people are coming to it from curiosity now because of exposure. And then there is this crisis factor and the escalating intensity of our personal experience in life. And then globally, what's going on, you know? So it's like we look at is this all a developmental kind of tool? Everything escalating to this point, is it pushing us to do the evolution that we actually really need to do to take ourselves to the next level, to really bust through the current mental frameworks and everybody, like, en masse, shift up? Like, will the rub just be so great that everybody gets there, I guess?
Yeah, you say that
it might be that case.
That meditation can be a tool that directs our human attention. Like, it's just to get us all focused, which I think we could all use that right now,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, for sure.
And you think meditation is the best tool for this?
Do I think meditation is the best tool for this? It's a pretty good tool. Can you guys suggest other tools?
Tony's a pretty big tool, but that's not really. Oh, I'm sorry.
I personally think I'm kind of like I've got quite a pluralist kind of a view.
Okay.
I use a bunch of different modalities and, you know, but meditation is something that I do every day and I definitely think it's an asset and I definitely think it makes a shift in your life.
Wow.
And it's worth a try. What I was going to say before about the comment about the construction of the film and everything, I think you guys might have said experimental. It does get described a little bit that way, but it was supposed to be experiential, so designed to be an experience. And so that kind of creating that womb and that transformational experience within the cinema for people, that's why I was so careful about the construction of the sound and having visual scapes that, like, moved us sort of micro to macro so we could get that zoom in to people's life and the intimacy and the detail, but also the zoom out and really wrap you up in that experience, which I think is why it's nice. It's especially nice in the cinema because you do get that really enveloping environment and
totally.
A shared experience with other people.
Totally. And it seems like obviously the meditation helped each of these people through their trauma.
Yeah, it did. Yes, it did. And I think, interestingly, sort of in different ways at different points in their life, we didn't, you would have noticed, we didn't so much focus on talking about that aspect. We tried to create the experience of it. And so I was sort of thinking, okay, like, what are the benefits that you might get from a meditation practice? Or what are the ways that we engage with meditation? And so it allows us to, you know, do a focusing of our attention and helps with clarity, helps with insight, making connections between things so that we can build meaning for ourselves, creating a sense of calm and peace, joy, interconnection, those kinds of things. So it's kind of like the guiding philosophy of how to build the film together so that we could hopefully lead people into an experience of some of those things within the 90 minutes.
And that's among these individuals. Do you think there's an overall phase shift happening in the world right now?
Yes, I do.
To put it bluntly, yes, you do.
Can you feel it? I can feel it. I mean, look, my exposure to things is a little skewed in that direction at the moment. But I notice it. I notice people having changes of mindsets and being frustrated with the system and feelings like things are broken and stuff in their own life is a bit broken, but the system at large is broken. And so how long would we go on in a broken system? You know, I think people are just, it's too much now.
Well, in this community, I keep hearing over and over about a shift in consciousness, that there's this awakening going on, that a lot of people are shifting their consciousness. We hear that all the time.
Well, I think more people are starting to express their gut feelings of questions, where, you know, back in the day, you know, when you're children in the 40s, 50s, 60s, everybody just
takes it,
you know, takes it, don't say anything. And now it's like, that doesn't feel right to me. And I think that's where more and more people are feeling, or not feeling it, but they're just starting to express that they're not feeling the system, from governmental to religion to whatever. And I think that's where we're at. And I think 2012, you know, according to many people, that's when the shift started happening. So
2020 is supposed to be an important year too, right? A lot of, I can't remember all of the details on these years, but I know 2020 is a big important marker, and it certainly feels for me like next year, like the film will, you know, we're in our early stages of the release now, but it's a type of film that I think is going to get word of mouth, and people really enjoy it quite deeply, more than they're expecting to. I think people are expecting, because it's, you know, to talk about meditation. Oh yeah, it's going to be a documentary about meditation. Yeah, I get it.
But it's not. But it's not.
In my view, really not that. It's not. No, it isn't that. It isn't that at all. But I think once people start seeing it and they realize that, and, like, you know, people are crying in the cinema and crying when we do the Q&As and getting so emotional about the sort of the shift that they've noticed in them and the renewed hope for us all as a collective as we move forward, and wanting to share that. So I've always sort of had this feeling like next year would be a really special year for the film, where it started to gain momentum and these types of things just come more and more to the forefront. And I think the most important thing is about our interrelationship as humans. You know, that's really what it comes down to, is how prepared are we to you know, live and love and work together.
Yeah, it doesn't call out. It's go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and that's what I think a lot of people are feeling, that when they watch the film, like feeling deeply connected to these other individuals and realizing how significant we all are as a unique component in this, you know, diverse whole.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's true. It's definitely, you're definitely not hit over the head at all that it's even about meditation. I mean, it's really about, it shows that we all feel alone and we all face these hardships, and it's just like ways that we can overcome those things, like these individuals have, who had even bigger tragedies than maybe most of us ever have to face, thankfully.
Yeah, I think people are really enjoying the relatability. We're trying to, there are some pretty extreme circumstances going on in the film, and it's sort of, you know, graphic and hard to imagine somebody going through some of that stuff
right,
for a lot of us, and sort of shocking. So some of that stuff was shocking for me. You know, it's not my life experience. I mean, I sort of have certain aspects of relatability to some of the people. Jim Doty, one of the guys, the neurosurgeon, that was probably my most relatable childhood experience, but not as extreme as his. But we just were really trying to capture, and this is why the first person point of view that you're talking about before, really capture how that feels, not so much the details about what went on, but how that affected, you know, each of us as an individual, each of these people as an individual, and because that's a space that we can all connect with, you know, feeling lonely, feeling abandoned, feeling like nobody cared whether we came home or not, feeling scared about something or other, or all the upsides of that too, you know, the positive influences there as a childhood. It's like, what is happening in our childhood? What are all those components that then lead us to be the person that we become and the path that we take, and how do we go about reprogramming, in the kind of language of the film, reprogramming those parts of us that maybe aren't working so well for us and the decisions that we make? you know, but it's about really tapping into the universal human experience. And so I think that's why it's so
and that's for all of us. We all feel that way. We all feel alone and lost and things. So that's absolutely
yeah, exactly. I think it's funny. It really was a big, I mean, not, I'm not naive to this sort of stuff, but I was like just pored over these people's stories and then the book for just like, you know, hours and days and months. And it just was this constant reminder, like when I was having a struggle, when I was thinking things or like, oh God, this isn't going to work out, or no, we're not going to make it, or this, like, all, they're all having all these same mental struggles, you know, and it's we're all experiencing the same thing. And it was really helpful for me in my life journey to just be so closely connected to other people's internal dialogue and challenges to help me with my own. And I think that there's a solidarity in that, you know, and I think people feel that watching.
Agreed. So is the film out? Can people see it now?
It is out in Australia. It's coming out in the States from the 1st of November. All of the details for the screenings are at our website, which is www.entertheportal.com. People can also follow us on our social media handles, mostly are at Enter the Portal Now. So, yeah, we start the US release from the 1st of November in LA, which is really cool. There's a week run there. And then we move about the country. So there's quite a schedule. A lot of them are single event screenings. And there's a few places where there's a week run, like LA, New York, Santa Fe, I think, is a week. There'll be more and more screenings added all the time. So if people can't find one near them, then they can just get in touch and ask what's happening in the area. And there's also a hosted screening set up where if there isn't a screening in your area, you could register to host a screening and you can earn a little percentage of the box office there with that and just basically communicate with your community in your town and get a screening happening. So it's pretty cool. A lot of people are interested in that option too for the, you know, I don't even want to say non-main cities because there's plenty of main cities that we're not getting to at the moment, but just anywhere that it's not screening.
Cool.
Well, Jackie, we so appreciate you being on Truth Be Told. And I know people are really loving this. And everybody that's listening, or if it's later on our podcast or watching it on YouTube, please share this episode, subscribe, and leave a review. And please go to entertheportal.com and make sure you kind of keep an eye out for the movie here in the States. And we hope to have you back soon.
Thank you, guys. Really great talking to you.
Of course. Well, this is Tony Sweet with Captain Ron. Until next time, adios.